So last week was Easter Sunday, and if you were here, I hope that you felt the celebration that was in the air, the idea that Christ was risen from the dead, and that we were here to celebrate that. We had a great opportunity to understand what it means to be resurrection people. We went out with this great feeling. And then we go to this week, which is the next passage of Scripture that comes through the lectionary, the way that the church celebrates Scripture, and we hear the idea of doubt. We go from this high to this, I'm not so sure about this whole thing. And we don't always understand why. But I think it's important for us to know that doubt is a natural human emotion. All of us has it. Even the disciples had it on not seeing Christ right away after his resurrection. Could they truly believe what the women at the well said, that Christ was risen from the dead? This morning I'm going to encourage you to read along with me in the scripture that we hear from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 29, where we hear Jesus coming to the disciples themselves, and yet Thomas not wanting to believe until he could see for himself. So listen to these verses from Scripture. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and sighed. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came in and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen, you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And this is the word of the Lord. You pray with me. Gracious and ever-living God, we ask you to open our hearts and minds to your will. Let us hear what it is that you have for us to hear today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, there are names, when we hear them, we automatically know something about them. We think good thoughts. If I said Gandhi or Mother Teresa or even Bill Gates, who's a huge philanthropist, we venture to guess good things about them. We attribute them accomplishments and wonderful things that have changed society in a positive and good way. But there are other people that if I say their name, you might come up with a negative emotion. It invokes in you negative thoughts. Maybe if I said Richard Nixon, you'd think of Watergate, for those of us who are old enough. Or if I said Adolf Hitler, it would bring up ideas of this synonymous leader who caused death and brutality and killing in concentration camps. Even if I said the name Judas Iscariot, many of you would understand that this was the betrayer of Christ. Did you know that many Jewish families have not named their child Judas since then? I wonder why. We rarely remember these good things about these notorious people. We always are forever etched in our mind the negative things that they did, that one time in their lives or that defining moment when they did something that we will never be able to forget. And unfortunately, in our scripture today, we find that same thing happening to our friend Thomas, one of the disciples. No matter what good Thomas had seemed to have done before his time with Jesus or doubting Jesus, he will forever be known as Doubting Thomas. And his fate seemed to be defined by this one thing when he was in an upper room and told the rest of the apostles, "I won't believe until I see it myself." Thomas doesn't seem to get a second chance. His fate is forever put in that one place with what happened that day. We aren't told why Thomas wasn't with the rest of the disciples when Jesus appeared to him on that Easter night, or when he appeared to them on the Easter night, and then why it took another week later for him to appear to them again when Thomas was with them. Some people say that Thomas just really wasn't in the right place at the right time, and there's been many biblical scholars who have given Thomas the idea that he's a pessimist or a naysayer. In a book written by John MacArthur, a noted scholar, called 12 Ordinary Men, which is a bibliography of the different 12 disciples, this is what John MacArthur says about Thomas. Thomas was a negative person. He was a worrywart, a brooder. Thomas tended to be anxious and angst-ridden. He was like the Eeyore in Winnie the Pooh. Thomas anticipated the worst of all things, and rather than just being a doubter, his sin was pessimism. Well, no disrespect to Pastor MacArthur, but I don't tend to agree. I think we have to look at the whole idea of who Thomas was rather than giving him one thing because of one time in Scripture. None of us are summed up by one time in our lives, right? It's a whole idea of having our lives over the course of it. So I want to look at Thomas for just a few minutes in a holistic way. If we look back in the Gospel of John, we see two inner times when Thomas is with Jesus. One is when the rest of the disciples were worried about Jesus falling into a problem. In fact, it was the story of Lazarus. So Jesus was trying to go back to be with his friend Lazarus, who was sick. He wanted to go back to that area of Judea where they lived. And all the disciples said, "No, we can't go back. Remember the last time you were there? They tried to stone you, Jesus. We don't want you to go there and fall into harm." It was only Thomas who said, "Let us go with Jesus. And if that means dying with him, then we will do just that." To me, that doesn't sound like a naysayer or a pessimist. It sounds like someone who was supportive and encouraging and actually was a leader to the rest of the disciples, saying, "We'll follow Jesus to the end." There was another time in Scripture in John 14, again, another chapter before, a few before these, when Jesus was preparing his disciples for his leaving this earth. He was preparing them and saying to them, "Soon I'll be gone and I'm going to be with the Father. And where I go, I will prepare a place for you, and then I will come back and get you and bring you with me." And all the disciples were kind of dismayed. They weren't quite understanding what was going on. It was only Thomas that said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how will we know the way?" And Jesus was able to say, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." To me, Thomas wasn't a naysayer or a pessimist. He was inquisitive and wanted to learn more. He asked the questions that nobody else was willing to ask, and he wanted to understand who Jesus was. Every time we look at an interchange before this with Jesus and Thomas, it seems that Thomas wanted to experience his faith. He just didn't want to take it at face value. He wanted to understand it and almost breathe it in. I think of Thomas as a lifelong learner, somebody who wanted to experience faith. And through this experience, when he finally does see the risen Lord, he is the one that says, "My Lord and my God." His faith is affirmed even in his doubt. So to me, Thomas is more of an example than someone to disdain. Through Thomas, we learn that love is deep and sincere, that he's courageous in his following of Christ, that he's inquisitive in his faith, and he wants to continue to learn and experience faith and understand God's grace and love. I empathize with Thomas because I too am an inquisitive person. If you knew me as a young child, you'd probably get sick of me quite quickly because I was the kid that always asked why and how come and why not. I like to know things. I like to know the facts. But I also like to experience things. For me, learning is through experience. You can teach me anything in a book. I can watch anything on a video. But when I get to do it myself, touch it and smell it and feel it, it becomes part of who I am. It forms me differently. And I think that's what happened to Thomas. He wanted to be with Jesus. He wanted to feel Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. He wasn't pessimistic that this couldn't be true. He was actually just wanting to be part of it. So like Thomas, it's important for us to understand that doubt isn't necessarily an obstacle. Doubt is a way of moving deeper in our faith. I know that you've all doubted things in your life. You've doubted your faith. You might have doubted other things. But instead of allowing that to hold us back, to be that obstacle to faith, doubt should be that thing that propels us forward so we learn more about Christ. It shouldn't be a dark time when we're in doubt where we think all is lost, but it should be a hopeful time where we say, well, I don't quite understand this, but God, I want you to teach me and show me the way. It shouldn't be the thing that doubt stalls us in our fear. It should be actually the thing that propels us forward. I don't know, but I want to know more. Faith isn't our natural inclination. Doubt is. If you think about it, we live in this world where it seems like everything we hear and everything we see, we can doubt, right? If you turn on the news, you don't know what's fact and what's fiction, and it's getting harder and harder in the world that we live in. If you talk about politics at all, everybody's like, oh, I don't know if that's true or not true. We don't know where to land in this. Ordinary citizens are full of problems and questions. And we live in this place between hope and despair, in between faith and doubt. We don't really know where that is, and it keeps us off balance. It makes us uncomfortable. But in a sense, that's what faith is. We're not supposed to have all the answers. We're not supposed to know all the things, but we're supposed to be willing to try and learn. We are supposed to be willing as Christ followers to go forward even in our doubt. In fact, doubt is an important part of the faith journey, in my opinion. If we don't doubt, if we just accept things at face value, we really don't have any depth of faith at all. In fact, our strength comes from when we have those doubts and we see God show up and overcome those doubts. Years ago, I read a book called The Case for Christ, written by Lee Strobel's. Lee was a journalist at the Chicago Tribune, and he had both a journalism degree in his undergraduate work and a law degree from Harvard. And he was a wonderful, and is still a wonderful writer and speaker. But before he wrote his book, The Case for Christ, Lee was an atheist. He thought this whole idea of religion was just a bunch of garbage. But then his wife started going to church. And as most wives do, honey, why don't you go to church with me? He said, I'm finally going to keep my wife so that she doesn't go to church anymore, and I'm going to prove to her that there is no such thing as God, and there is no such thing, no worth in organized religion. So for a few years, Lee did what Lee does. He investigated it, and as a reporter, he turned over all stones. He went to different pastors, different people within Christian organizations. He talked to lay people and to atheists. And in 1981, after investigating for years, Lee Strobel's became a follower of Christ. His doubt turned to faith because he did the hard work and sunk into his faith and tried to find out about God and proved himself out of being an atheist. I think that's a great idea, and I had that same thought when I was a preteen. Not that I was an atheist by any means, but I wanted to go and know more about my own faith. So I went to my parish priest at the time and asked him questions. Remember that kid that was really annoying that asked all the questions? Thank you very much. The response I got fell a little bit short for me. Instead of being able to have a conversation or to learn a little bit more, I was told to just have faith and believe. And that could have gone one of two ways. That could have set me on a course of unbelief where I thought, well, this isn't worth it. But instead, it set me on a course of inquisitiveness and caused me to check out my faith for myself. I went and I learned and I studied and I tried to go deeper in my faith, and here I am today. It took a lot of years for me to understand my faith and to work out my doubt, but God is powerful and good. And prayer, even though it's a powerful thing, I still think we need to work out our faith on our own. We can't just pray ourselves into faith or wish ourselves into faith. We need to work ourselves into faith. Not that we need to work for God's grace or salvation, but we need to work out our faith with fear and trembling, as the scripture says. Doubt isn't an indication of being wrong or lacking faith. Instead, it's an impetus to push us forward, to grow, and to figure out who God is to us personally. Doubt is a sign that God wants us to draw closer to him and to get to know him and to be able to go with our hard questions to God himself. to seek out answers to our questions so that our faith becomes personal and deeper. In this, we live in this uncertain world with hope. We need answers. And the way that we get those answers is by going to God with our doubts. Faith means believing that we don't necessarily have to have all the answers, but we have a place to go with them, a place to work them out. Faith means accepting God's free gift of grace through Christ, his life, death, and resurrection. And it means relying on God for strength. Faith requires that we don't take everything at face value, that we can go deeper in our relationship with Christ by asking and being inquisitive and being like Thomas, even in our doubts, hoping that things will get better, and then finally being able to proclaim the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So back to my friend Thomas. Christian tradition tells us that Thomas wasn't always a doubter. In fact, it tells us that Thomas sailed on a ship to India and was the first one to spread the good news of Jesus Christ in that area. Does that sound like a pessimist or a doubter to you? To me, it sounds like somebody who was full of faith in Jesus Christ. It sounds like someone who was willing to lay down their life for Christ. It sounds like someone who took their questioning and made it into faith and made it such that their faith was so deep that it would sustain them through all difficult times. So my question today to each one of you is, what do you do with your doubts? Do you let them riddle you with fear? Do you let them keep you away from things? Do you let them keep a distance between you and God? Or do you go to God with your doubts and pray and say, open up my understanding? Show me the way. Doubt isn't a sign of God's absence, but actually it's a way of God showing his love for us and his willingness to walk with us and his willingness to change us from the inside out, molding us and making us who he wants us to be. While doubt is a natural human emotion, it can lead to faith if we make it not fear, but we make it something that helps us to work out our faith. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we come to you as human beings who often live in doubt. We don't know the answers to the things that we ask. We don't even know how to get through the difficult times. But Lord, we no longer doubt that you are there. We use our doubt as a way to get to know you better. Answer our questions and let us come before the throne of glory with what we want to know. Help us to dig deep into our faith so it becomes personal and strong to sustain us through the difficult times. And help us to be like Thomas, one who has come from doubt to faith and spread your name to the ends of the earth. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.